my heart. And when she was sad, I was there to dry her tears. And when she was happy, so was I. When she
everybody, and welcome to RSB Radio. I'm your host, Kel Fritzy. And you'll notice that, that was an opening song, and that is dedicated to all the animals around the globe. And this is my Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah special. I am concentrating on our animals, though. And thank you all for being here. I want to thank Sweet Sue from New Mexico for putting out the show for me. She is a gem, and she's wonderful. We have so much to be grateful for at this time of the year, don't we? We have our family, and we have our friends. Well, some of us do, and some of us don't. We may be far away from family or alienated from family. We may not have any friends. And Christmas and Hanukkah, they can be really tough for some people. It is for me because I really don't have anywhere to go. This Christmas. And my Christmas day is going to probably consist of watching a Frasier marathon on Netflix Christmas Day. I have no turkey. I have no table to set. And it's rather sad. But I do have creatures in my house. I adopted pets all my life, my adult life. And I have Dobby Amber, and I have Freya. And these two, they never leave me, my side. I'm stuck in a basement. Like, you know, I'm not chained in a basement. Don't get the wrong idea, folks. My office is in the basement. All my equipment and stuff is down here. And I have my cat and I have my dog. And I'm grateful to both of them. I will be with them on Christmas Day. I did a Christmas special on RSB with Tim Burton and Dave Milner, and we shared some really, really, really cool times. We had Sweet Sue from New Mexico join in. It was a great show, folks, and thank you all for spreading it around, because we're already getting accolades. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the four of us. But there is a bit of a darker side, and that is people who are completely alone. And people have anything. They have nothing. This is why animals are so important. If you have an animal in your life, the unconditional love, that is the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. You turn to your pet, and they're looking back at you with big brown eyes. And they smile at you adoringly. This is why I wanted to do this Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and honor our sentience. There are so many animals as well that will be alone Christmas Day. They're in animal shelters, or they're outright on the street. Right around the corner from you, there is a cat huddled under a woodpile in this cold December weather. Right around the corner from you, there is a dog that is languishing on a cold metal floor. Right around you, there is an animal being abused. And right around you, there is an animal waiting to be loved. You know, we have to be kind to the animals. Please be kind to the animals. They are really God's creatures too. They were put on earth to live free with nature. They were not intended to live in cages. You know, our sentience, they have no anger nor hate. And they have no fear of man. But they have an obligation to love and serve man. You know their lessons? They're not learned from a book. They're learned from us, in a sense. We are their kind and caring mommy and daddies. They know all about respect. And they learn lessons that they never forget. Of course, when you're an animal, survival always comes first. But animals still feel joy and pleasure from sweet Mother Earth. So please, be kind to the animals. Give them some room to roam. And let them be themselves. But remember, they want to be with us and amongst us as well. Please remember, like I mentioned, it's cold outside. And sometimes our dog doesn't want to go outdoors and play. You know, it's cold. But sometimes that doggy has to go out there anyway. But it starts to snow. And that dog is going to freeze. Our dogs hate playing outside on days like these. And it's great that we get our animals out there and get fresh air and exercise and play a little fetch, but please, people, for goodness sake, when it is below freezing, just let the little fella out and, you know, do a little bit of business and bring him or her back in the house immediately. Don't leave them out there. And remember, there are animals out there, and they're suffering. And it's Christmas time, and it's Hanukkah. Concentrating on our friends and family is great. But we have to remember the animals as well. This show is rather unusual. Yes. But like I say, if you want to hear a fantastic Christmas special, please listen to RFB from yesterday. But what about the animals? Are they lost in a mist? Are the animals lost in a mist? A great mist of ignorance and power? Has man's great lust for money and wealth blinded him from life on this earth? Life given by God to be cherished and loved, the gift to grow and to be free? Many were here before man lost his way, sole tenants of nature's great earth. Man builds and he plants, taking all in his reach, no concern for those in his way, not really caring who's discarded or lost. It's just man's cold, hard way, not approved by our God, nor the animals on earth. Man is far too greedy and harsh. Why can't man learn from animals their rules for coexistence in life? Is caring and sharing so foreign to man? Has his heart turned cold and closed? If he opens his heart to God's loving way, the veil of his ignorance will lift. And he will love again, and he will be kind again, and he will share and see the animals come out of the mist. I really do, though, want to take a little bit of a break. because it is Christmas time, and we are also celebrating Happy Hanukkah. I'm going to play this song right now and come back in a little under 4 minutes.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here today, bringing joy that will last. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on,
everybody, and welcome back. I'm Carol Fritzy. I am the Red Fox blogger. I suppose you could say that my Christmas special, this is the show where I fly solo, and this is probably a Christmas special for the lonely hearts. But I really want to dedicate this show to the animals. But you know what? I have a very, 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 very dear friend who is joining me, and that is our very own Sweet Sue from New Mexico. Hey, Sue, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great, and I'm so glad you're doing this show. Our animals, they're family, you know, and this is the first Christmas without my little dog. We were together 20 years, but, you know, this show makes it much easier. So God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Sue. You know, I remember speaking with you about a year ago, and your dog was ailing, and that you were losing your fella, and it's so very sad because I lost my dog Brandy. If people, if you scroll up. And please do take a look at the slides that I put in the show. You're going to see one picture of my dog, Brandy. And I had Brandy for 14 years. And she developed illness, and she died in my arms. We had to get the vet here, and they came in. And they put her to sleep. And the last thing she did, Sue, is that she went, almost like, thank you, Mommy, because you knew I was so miserable, Mommy. And thank you for taking care of me and sending me over to the other side of the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I know when she was sick and how hard it was on you, and but you know what, they're all in heaven, and I'm sure of that, and one day we're going to get to see all of our pets, and to me that's going to be a wonderful time, because you know, God loves all the animals. And I've got my Mr. Clifford, though. I've got my cat. And he's going to make it fun. He's already into ribbons and whatever else he can possibly get into.
So funny. It's so funny. Because I was doing all the Christmas wrapping and stuff. And I had the ribbons and bows and everything out. And Faria was just having a great old time with the wrapping paper and the bows.
Well, Clifford helped me sew my daughter's blanket. He thought that was great fun, you know. So, yeah, they're a lot of fun. Animals are just a gift. They're a gift, you know, when I think they find us in some ways, and when they do, how wonderful it is.
I think once an animal latches onto you, they're not letting you go.
Oh, no.
they own us.
And, you know, the amazing thing, I don't know if when you got your dog now or any of your dogs, you know, I know when I went to the shelter, we had a cat called Lily Boy. At first, we thought it was a girl. It was so fuzzy. And then my mom one day was holding the cat, and we were calling it Lily, and she said, you know, he's got another part on him. I don't think he's a Lily. So we called him Lily Boy. But anyway, when I went to go get Mr. Clifford, and you know, with all of the cats in there, and they were running around at the shelter, you know, jumping, and Mr. Clifford sat in front of the door, you know, the door was closed, and looked at me, and I told him, I said, oh, let me see him, and you take your animals into a room. They want to see how you bond. And from that moment on, you know, it was me and him. Actually, he's coming to join the show. But anyway, yeah.
It's funny. I've got Freya right here by my feet. And she's looking at me going, hey, Mom, where's my food?
Yeah. Yeah, they know when they want to eat. Well, he's actually gotten better. He used to wake me up at 4 to eat, and now he's letting me sleep in
until
6:30.
Oh, absolutely lovely. Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
No kidding. That's what my cat, Catsy, I had Catsy for 17 years, and what she would do is that I would be in bed, and she'd be sitting there, and I would kind of wake up out of a, you know, my slumber, and
yeah,
she'd be sitting there, and I'd turn my head, and she'd bat me.
Oh, yeah. You know, they wake you up because you know someone's staring at you.
I think that's what it is. I don't know, the power of the animal. Like, it's amazing. But Cassie used to do that. Like, just wait for me to kind of turn over and bat me and say, come on, get up. I want my food.
Wonderful memories. Isn't it wonderful memories with all of our pets? And, you know, Christmas time for pets is a great time because, you know, everybody opens their packages and there's paper and you're all into that. And all of a sudden, you know, an animal will take a flying leap right in the middle of all the paper and everything and have the best time.
Okay, you know what? It's really true. They do jump into Christmas trees.
Oh, yes, I love watching that. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it got to where, because I had cats who liked to slurp down the icicles, the silver icicles you put on the trees.
Mm-hmm.
My trees ended up having icicles on the top half. You know, because I knew they were going to try to eat them, you know, sit there and, you know, just like spaghetti. So I quit putting icicles on the bottom for them and stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, pay heed to Sue's words. When you do that, be very, very careful because they do like the icicles. And something else too, poinsettias. Keep poinsettias away from the cats.
Yeah, those are poisonous, aren't they, to animals?
Yeah. They're very poisonous. Yeah, very toxic. So if you have a poinsettia, make sure that's set up high as well. Oh, but oh my gosh. Oh, Sue, this is so funny. And, you know, it's true, though, that we have to take care of our sentience, don't we? Because especially this time of year, I mean, we're all enjoying Christmas time and Hanukkah, but we also have to remember winter is cold, there is snow in the sky, the squirrels gather nuts and the wild geese fly. The fluffy fox, red fox, has his fur to keep warm. The bear is in his cave, sleeping all throughout the storm. And
oh, I love that.
Yeah. So what are you and your pet doing for Christmas Day? Me and Freya and Dobby Amba, we're going to be watching the Frasier Marathon on Netflix.
Uh-oh, Frasier, that's a great one. Yeah, no, I'll probably be watching some shows, and Cliffy will be very excited because he'll be sharing Christmas dinner with me. So he'll be waiting for that, you know, and we'll just curl up together and enjoy the day. That's what I'm planning on.
Oh, I think that me and the dog and the cat will be splitting a pizza.
Well, that's good as long as you got the right toppings for them.
Okay. One side for Freya and Dobby Amba, the other side for Mummy.
Yeah. Oh, dear. How funny.
Oh, it is so sweet, though. Hey, Sue, could you stay with me? Because I want to share a very important message. And we are celebrating Christmas and Hanukkah, but we are also dedicating this show to our sentience. And I'm so grateful that Sweet Sue from New Mexico is on the line with me. And I want to read something here. And believe me, Sue and I, we go back a long way when it comes to us speaking about our pets. And I have a message for everybody. And Sue, I'm going to read this. And I'm probably going to pause a little bit here and there because it's a rather long missive, but it's very important. And I have Sue, and we're going to get through this together. And this comes from the animalshelter.org, based out of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, though, be apprised that this goes international, whether you be in Canada or the UK or Australia. This is a message from your animal shelter. And this is adopt a dog or a cat today. Now, every year, thousands of animals are dropped off at the side of the road because owners didn't properly spay or neuter their pets, resulting in unwanted puppies and kittens. Other times, pet owners simply cannot afford to take care of an animal anymore, or they are moving to a home that won't allow them to bring their beloved pet with them. No matter what the reason, there are thousands of homeless pets on the streets of cities and communities all over the country, whether that be Canada, United States, Australia, UK. But there doesn't have to be a reason for that. An additional 6 to 8 million animals are already finding homes in shelters all across the country. With the help of animal shelters, these animals can find homes. If you are in the market for a new pet, or if you find yourself in a situation where you are unable to keep your pet anymore, here are a few reasons you should choose an animal shelter. If you are in search of a family-friendly pet, check your shelter first. Many shelters have puppies and kittens, but you may find that your heart opens up to an older animal. And Sue, that's what we did. We Dobby Amba is 9 years old, and we just brought her. We just brought him home, and Dobby Amba, I'm sorry if I call you a her. I don't blame you for doing this. But that's what we did. We brought Dobby Amba home from the shelter 7 months ago, and he's 9 years old now. So, yes, you can open up your home to an older animal, folks. When you choose to adopt an animal for a local shelter, you can be guaranteed that your animal has been monitored and checked out by a veterinarian before you take them home. Animal shelters try to ensure that pets have received their shots, and many dogs and cats will have already been spayed and or neutered. Pardon me. Additionally, pets been given to the animal shelter from previous homes are more likely to have been exposed to children. That's right. Adopting adult animals allows you to really see the personality of the dog. You may not even have the bathroom train, an adult dog or cat. When you go to a shelter to choose your pet, you can observe your future family members' behavior closely. Additionally, shelter volunteers can provide more information about their medical background, personality, and the circumstances that caused their arrival at the shelter. Before you take your pet home, many shelters offer the option of tagging your pet, which includes the implantation of a GPS device, and that's the microchip, folks, to your new family member, and they can be located quickly if they become lost. And that's exactly what we did, Sue, is Dobby Amba and Freya. They're microchipped, and they're really wonderful, wonderful creatures in that I did a lot of volunteer work about 20 years ago. I'm not very active in the volunteer field anymore, but about 20 years ago, I would just go to the Guelph Humane Society and sit with a pet. And it's most rewarding when you go to a shelter and you see a beautiful creature and they stare at you back, you know, in awe as you stare at them in awe, because there is nothing more rewarding than staring into the face of a beautiful sentient, and you know that this little animal is going to find a really fine home. Hey, Sue?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you a story. When my daughter was young in grade school, I was the leader of a 4-H group, and I always took my 4-Hers to the animal shelter, and we would walk, you know, the dogs and brush them and, you know, teaching them, you know, how to care for an animal. The only problem was I always came home with another dog. So at one point I had six dogs.
I'm glad you reminded me of the 4-H Club, because that's what I belong to, because I, in Ontario, we refer to being born and raised above the 401, and that means that you are a rural kid, and so you couldn't shake a stick without belonging to a 4-H club, and that's why I was so involved with the shelters. Yeah. But you came home with more than you went in for.
Yeah. I remember the first one, her name was Maddie, and you can guess why. She was so matted, you know, and we worked and worked. About the second visit there, where we were getting along pretty good, you know, and she looked up at me with these eyes, and I looked at my daughter and said, "You want to bring her home?" And, of course, my daughter's, "Yes, yes, yes." Yeah, they're just, it's incredible. And, you know, to anybody who's out there, 4-H is, it has a lot to do with animals, you know, whether it be raising animals. I know I had steer and a sheep and everything, but in all aspects, and they will get wonderful, wonderful training on, you know, how to care for an animal, plus building children's character, and also older. I was in 4-H till I went to college. So, yeah, it's a wonderful program.
It absolutely is. And in my 4-H club, in my particular group, we had people, we had young people that were raising cows, and prized cows.
Yeah, I did that.
Did you raise a cow?
Actually, they were steers, yeah. And I would show them, you know, in the county fair, and then I would show them in the state fair. And a lot goes into showing these animals, but yes. And I even won in the county top showmanship. For, I think it was, I don't remember if it was for my sheep or the cow, but anyway, what you had to do, then you went on to the finals, and you had to show four animals, and one of these animals was a pig, and in my previous life, I had been chased by a pig when I, you know, fell into the pen, and the sow had some little baby pigs, and she was like, "You'd get out of here." But anyway, I ended up winning that, and the judge made a comment about what a great job I did with the pig. Well, when you show a pig, you've got this kind of wooden block, and you hold it between you and the judge because you want the judge to look at the pig. I wasn't caring about the judge. I wanted the pig away from me.
Oh, gosh. You know, as we had a a hobby farm, and we had a couple of horses, and we had a pet goat named Ermintrude.
Oh, goat! I love them.
I love goats. You know what?
Oh.
Hey, Sue, one day I'm going to get one of those fainting goats, you know, and go, bah!
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are good that they just poop and flop over. Goats have a personality. Unless you've been around goats, anyway, that's enough said.
Oh, well, my parents would go away on the weekends, and the older kids would take care of the house, and of course we were, absolutely responsible, Sue.
Yeah.
But we would bring Ermintrude into the house. We had a huge it was a farmhouse, and so we had a huge country kitchen, and we had the pine floors and stuff like that, and we'd bring Ermintrude in, and he'd clap around all over the kitchen floor, and it's like, don't tell Mom and Dad we brought in Ermintrude.
I know our goats, they love to jump on top of the cars and how they got up there. You know, a goat can get anywhere. Well, I can tell you what we had. He ended up looking like a vulture. But when I was about 6 or 7, my dad got a turkey. You know, it was little. And we were fattening it up. Of course, we didn't know for Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving started, coming around. And let me tell you, we started crying. Don't touch our turkey. Well, we didn't. And this turkey stayed until it died. You know, the feathers were falling off. Huge turkey. And it was wonderful. My grandma would say, go find me some turkey eggs, and I'll make you guys an angel food cake. Oh, they were good.
Oh, my gosh. Turkeys are huge.
Oh, yeah. My youngest sister, she used to, straddle it and pretend like she was riding it, but the tamest bird. And we had some city cousins come, and they were scared of it. They were calling it a vulture, and we were like, just having the best time with them. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. Oh, my goodness. We had the horses, and we had the goat, and we had Ermintrude, and we had a pony as well at one point, and we had chickens and stuff like that. But we also had friends that had an equestrian farm, and so we were invited to go out and, take some riding lessons. Pardon me. Take some riding lessons and stuff like that. And, I was appointed a 17 and a half hand gelding. And
oh, my gosh. That's big.
Oh, yeah. This was a huge bad boy. And he had a tood. He had big tood, Sue. And,
dear.
And we would have to saddle him, we would saddle up our respective horses and stuff at the equestrian farm. And
yeah.
I got, the Black Beauty. And when you're saddling him, he would bloat, okay? So when you're in the arena, he would exhale. And the saddle would be totally, totally loose. And we were doing the canter around the arena. And that's when he decided that he was going to, exhale. And the saddle started to slip. And we were going around the end of the arena. And the saddle is slipping and slipping and slipping. And I had no choice but to bail. And I literally bailed into a bale of hay.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's funny. I've saddled many a horse in my time, and that's a favorite trick. I know we had, like, we had Old Blum, we called him, and when, of course, the City Cousins had come, you know, we'd saddle that horse up, and that horse was as big as yours, and they would climb on top in the saddle, and so my brother or I, we would just walk around the yards and the field because Old Blum would follow us. So we went on chomps that way.
Oh my goodness! Though I just Mary put a link in the chat room about pygmy goats.
Oh my goodness!
Check that one out in a moment.
Yes,
I will. There. I will. I'll send it to you. I'm going to bring it up and book it. Oh
yeah! I would pygmy love goats. That. Thank you, Mary. Oh.
Oh, Sue, I wish you could see my computer. These pygmy goats are jumping around all over the place in the kitchen.
Oh, you gotta show it to me. You have to show it to me. Oh,
I'm going to. Oh, man.
No. Don't animals give so much joy? It doesn't matter if it's a goat or, you know, a pig or whatever it is. You know, I had friends who had, now this wasn't one of the little pigs. It was a real sized pig, but they took it in as a baby. And they said it trained easier than a dog did. So when you went to their house, you know, you sat down with the pig.
Okay. Oh, gosh. That is, you know what? That is quite the something. And, oh, my goodness, I wish you could see the chat room because Bigfoot, he just said that he has mixed feelings about turkeys. On one hand, they're my school's mascot, but on the other hand, they taste great.
Yeah, but you got little kids. You don't like in the movie Giant, you don't and expect your kids to eat it.
I'm trying to see if I can get Holger and Iggy Mum to share their animal stories. I'm afraid what Holger
please
would come out with.
Oh, it'll be good. Come on, Holger.
Oh, yeah. If you want to call in and join Sue and myself, believe me, you're more than welcome to 347-237-4318. We dare you.
This is one of the best Christmas shows. I mean, I'm laughing so much, and all these memories are coming in, and oh, how wonderful. That's all I can say.
I think it's probably one of the most unusual Christmas specials I've ever done.
But you know, it's a joyful Christmas show, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And we have more of this article that we're going to relate. You know what? It is Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. So let's play this song. And this is O Holy Night. And
actually, I love that.
Yeah. And so let's play this, and we'll see everybody back here in 4 minutes. You are joined by Sue from New Mexico, and I'm Kel Fritzy. And this is the Red Fox Blogger, and this is our Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah special, and we are offering honorifics to our sentience. And we'll both see you guys back here in a few moments. Probably one of the most beautiful renditions I've ever heard by Celine Dion. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Red Fox Blogger. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. The Christmas special, and Sue and myself, we are dedicating this to the animals, which is rather fitting, I think. Sweet Sue from New Mexico. We are having a great old time here with celebrating the sentience. And, hey, I want to share some more with you, Sue. And this comes from the same article. And people have figured out by now, Sue and I, we are talking about the sentience, and in particular those that are left behind and forgotten about. And we were talking about an article regarding shelter pets. Now, when you adopt a pet from a shelter, you are not supporting puppy or kitten mills. Puppy and kitten mills are essentially breeding facilities for dogs and cats. Many times the animals are not well taken care of. Many, but not all, stores receive animals from puppy mills or kennels. Animal mills create overpopulation of cats and dogs and often result in genetic problems that could lead to illness and death for the animals. Animal mills, usually puppy mills, provide little care and human interaction with the dogs. These facilities promote irresponsible breeding practices and focus more on their bottom line than the welfare of the animals they shelter. Supporting stores and organizations that purchase animals from these facilities fund their behavior. When you adopt a pet from a shelter, your funds are used to help more animals who have been discarded, lost, or left behind. Animal adoption is much more affordable than purchasing an animal from a pet store. The low adoption rates are great for families who cannot afford to purchase an animal from a private owner or other pet-friendly shops. But, yes, yeah, Sue, the issue of the puppy mills, this has always been my bane. I have always spoken out about puppy mills and cat mills as well. Like, I'm always cringing. You know, when I go to my newspaper, and you know how you go to the classified ads, and you see, yes. Oh, ready to be adopted now, and it's like, oh my God, I cringe, Sue, because I wonder, is this a puppy mill?
Yes, and what happens to them in puppy mills? You know, I've watched documentaries and shows about it, and it is so horrible. You know, all they do is breed these animals. They give them no love, no real attention. And, I mean, that's their whole life. And it's so sad. And, you know, I want to add something. If you can't adopt an animal from an animal shelter, you can, during Christmas time and through the year, take them a big sack of food. You know, dog food, you know, take them cat food, whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this will help them. So there's a lot of people who either can't have a pet, but they love animals, or their family's full. They can't get another one, but you can still, you know, take food to the animal shelters, and they are so appreciative.
And food and maybe some little toys. When we lost Brandy, I could not bring it upon myself to reuse her lead, for example. But
yeah.
I wasn't certain. I certainly was not going to throw it in the garbage. I just donated it to my local shelter, and we got Dobby Amba all his own stuff. You know, his own stuff, his own dishes,
yeah,
and everything. I did keep, you know, Brandy's collar and stuff like that. but the leads, the harness, and everything, I donated to a shelter. And that's what you can do, folks. For Christmas, for the sentience, you can donate these sort of things. Sue and I, we donate foods to the shelter.
Yes.
And you can, pick up a little squeaky toy and take it there. And pay attention to your shelter. Go there, maybe once every 2 weeks, whatever. But just go there and walk a dog and play with a kitten, It's so easy.
Oh, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to do that. I highly recommend it.
When we were at the Humane Society, we were, went there one day because I was interested in seeing what was going on over there because of my interest, with the 4-H Club and everything like that. And it has been so ingrained in me, for the last 20 years to do so. And I said, look at this dog. Look at this beautiful little thing,
Yeah.
And he was in a cage. And, who's this? Oh, this is Dobby. It's like, oh, can we take him out for a little walk? And next thing you know, he's hogging the bed.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And, Cal, I want to mention something else, is you can help support, Wounded Warriors, or there's Dogs for Vets and things like this. They get a lot of their dogs from animal shelters. But, it's so incredible that a dog can pick up, PTSD symptoms and, things that are happening. And they're truly incredible animals. But support those programs, too.
You know what? That is amazing that you bring that up, because it is unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, animals are also therapeutic. And when you have a veteran coming home from a war zone and the post-traumatic stress syndrome is there, you will not believe what a dog or a cat or can do when you're in a VA hospital and you feel so alone. And somebody walks in with a pet, and that dog or dogs in particular, because dogs are very, very, very well attuned to the therapeutic betterment of us humans, us lowly humans, in that they are there for you. They are unconditional in their attitude towards you. And they don't have tood. They are just there for you. And Sue, thank you so much for bringing that aspect up. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So support Wounded Warrior,
Yes. And, also, I always took my dog to the nursing homes. They are wonderful for the elderly, and they just, their faces would light up. And, so I remember one lady was in a wheelchair, and I'd bring in my dog, and it'd be on a leash, and I'd give her the leash, and I would push her through the nursing home. And my dog would just trot right in front of her, and, she loved it. And so there's so much. If you have a pet, you can share that pet with so many.
And the thing is, too, is that we don't own animals. We embrace animals. If anything, Sue, they own us.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do own us. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you ever watch that? Have you ever seen that sitcom called Frasier?
Oh, it's one of my favorites. Yes.
Oh God, I love Frasier.
The dog on Frasier.
Yeah, Eddie.
Eddie. Oh, I love that dog. I've always wanted a terrier because of the dog Eddie. I just that's one of the reasons I've always liked that show was Eddie.
Oh, yeah. There would be, and what I love about it is, and this totally ties into the fact that we embrace our pets, but the pets own us. And Frasier,
yeah,
and Eddie, they would be there having the staring contest.
But you know, even though he always acted like he didn't like the dog, underneath, you knew he loved the dog.
Mm. Oh, gosh,
that,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, great show, great show. Yeah. Oh.
But you know, folks, it is quite a fact with our sentience. And you know, like it's great that we can bring you so many warm and fuzzies to the program tonight. This is quite the far departure, as you know, my usual menu, as it were, speaking about other issues, which I will not even bring up because Sue and I, we made an executive decision that we are not going to go anywhere near the Scourge. We are going to concentrate on our Christmas special and talk about our sentience. But, hey, Sue,
oh, yeah,
there is something,
yeah,
else here, too. And that is that, you know, the plight of the abandoned animal. Because most animals, they're dwelling in animal shelters. They've been abandoned. They've become lost without any way to identify who their owner is. And i.e., Sue and I say they own us. But animal shelters provide a warm, safe place for animals to stay until their owners or their family members come to take them home. The danger of animals wandering is prolific in that they end up on the streets in a situation where they are more likely to become ill, injured, or killed, run over by cars. Not only do animal shelters benefit the community by taking stray dogs and cats from the streets, they provide an invaluable service to helpless animals. And this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. This is Christmas time. This is Hanukkah. And we have to remember those animals out there. There is somewhere near you. Like I said, near the beginning of the program, there is an animal out there waiting for you to bring him or her home. Right, Sue?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, a lot of the animal shelters, I don't know if in Canada, but they have where, because they're so overflowing, there's so many animals needing help, that you can actually take a cat, a dog, or, you know, maybe a goat, whatever you can, and you care for that animal until it can be placed for adoption.
Foster parents.
So there's, yes, yes, and so that's a great thing.
And I really like my shelter here in my city. We are also a no-kill shelter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, I got to tell you a story. My daughter, she decided she wanted to live in New York, which she had a shock there. She lived 6 years in New York. But the one thing that she did, her and her two roommates, they would go to the shelters and they would take these feral cats and they would bring them to their little apartment. And they would take care of them until they learned to trust, you know, humans and be around them. And then they would take them back, and then they could be adopted, when they did that, they brought another one home. And, oh, the stories they told. It can be an experience.
it's amazing. Like, we do know that there are, you know, some of our sentients out there, they do have adjustment issues, as it were. I'm still working on Dobby Amba to let him know that it's okay for him to pee in the backyard, because he has been trained.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what his background was, but he seems to think that, can I pee back there? It's like, yeah, it's your yard.
Yeah.
But, you know, animal shelters, he's a nutty old thing. But, you know, animal shelters, they, in addition to providing medical and attention, and that is playtimes and stuff like that, they're safe, and they're safe from the cars, they're safe from other hazards, and they are safe from, well, themselves, because they can fall prey if left to their own devices, right, Sue? And
yes.
There are many shelters, they provide behavioral training and or observation of the cats and dogs living in the shelter. And this
yes.
gives the shelter an opportunity to inform potential families how a certain pet may react in their home. Nervous or skittish pets are given time to acclimate and warm up to humans before they are adopted out. Like, yes, because we're all fallible. Ladies and gentlemen, we all come with our own neurotic baggage, and that includes our sentience. And that's why it is so doubly important to pay attention to the facilities that are offered to you. You can take home a pet, and if he or she, though, are experiencing issues, the shelter is there to support you and get you home. And God, Sue, Brandy, she was totally, totally neurotic. And I was phoning my animal shelter, like, every second day. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? What's can you help? Help, help. And it was almost like, you know, it was almost like they're live coaches, people. Live coaches. They're there 24/7. And if you're having an issue, they're right there. And they'll talk you through it. But, Sue, I swear, when I brought Brandy home, she was so highly hyper and so highly geared towards having her own way. And it's kind of like, Brandy, you have to realize that I'm the mummy, and you're my daughter now. You're not the mummy. I'm the mummy. She was determined that she was going to run the household, and she would get herself in herself. She would get herself into so much mischief, and I was on the phone going, what am I doing?
Oh, dear. And you know, another service animal shelters have, anyway, they do here, they have, I don't know if you call it dog obedience. I don't like that word, but dog, you know, training on, you know, how to teach
your
dog
what you mean.
To sit
yeah.
and to walk and things like that. And when I had my little 4-H club, there were 20 kids who, some of them got them from the animal shelter as the club went, that they all had dogs. And so the animal shelter put me in touch with someone who did these classes. The first class, we were in a kind of like a big barn thing, and here's 20 dogs, the parents sitting next to the wall, really nervous, and, you know, you've got little kids, 7, 8, 9 years old, holding these dogs who want to kill each other. it was something. But do you know, at the end of that class, because I worked every day with the kids, you know, we would get a lesson and we'd go over it. And at the end of the day, we had a graduation program. And every single dog, They walked on the leash. They sat. They even went through an obstacle course. It was so amazing to see. So you can do so much with your pet if you take the time.
Absolutely. And I don't know where the time went, as usual. You and I get together.
Yeah.
And
oh, I know.
It's like we've been speaking for 5 minutes, but before we know it, an hour and a half has gone by.
Yes, I know. Oh.
It has been great, though. Ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to the show in archive, please note that this has been the Radio Jihad Network. Okay, Sue, where am I? What's my name? You have been listening to the Red Fox Blogger, and Sue and I, we are offering a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah, and in the show notes, salutations from Sue and Kel. We hope everybody has a blessed season. This show is dedicated to animals. Remember the sentience. And Sue and myself, we so much appreciate your joining us this evening for a very, very unique Christmas special, and that we were honoring the animals tonight. Sue, my goodness. Wow.
Oh, it was so wonderful, Kel. I am so glad I was able to share this time with you. You're the one person I'd want more than anyone else to do this. And thank you for letting me be on. And Merry Christmas, everyone. And Merry Christmas to all the wonderful animals out there. God bless.
God bless you, Sue. God bless you. And ladies and gentlemen, Sue and I, we will be getting together in the future and covering more specials. And that you have to pay attention to this lady. She is one of my best friends. So I'm biased, of course. But this lady is a wealth of knowledge. And if it weren't for Sue, I wouldn't get half the information that I do via Twitter, for example. But she is also, now I'm speaking like Sue's, gone. But no, she's still here. But Sue, you are a wonderful, wonderful human being. And it is my gift of serendipity that I met you and that we can do these shows together. And I'm so glad that you and I did this show together tonight. And honoring the animals and the sentience. I want you to have the most wonderful Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Kel, and the same to you and everyone in the chat and who listens. It's such an honor to be with you, Kel.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to close out. We have a wonderful closing out song. This is from one of the shelter sites. It's called Choose Me. And this is when you go to a shelter or if you see an animal cold and shivering or needing a home, choose me. We will see everybody back here next Friday at RFB. And who knows what, I'll be up to. And if Sue is so inclined, maybe we'll both get up to mischief together. You never know.
That's true. Good night.
Good night. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, everybody. And we will see you again on the Red Fox Blogger. Love you, Sue.
I love you, Kel.
I was born in a back alley about a year ago. My mama was a stray like me. Where she is now, I don't know. I've been chased and I've been yelled at. I've lived most my life in fear. But you can call me lucky since I wound up here. Choose me. I'm a good dog, I don't bite. And I'd love to fall asleep beside your bed every night. Choose me. I'm looking for a home, and I'll be the best friend you've ever known. Wait and see. Choose me. Well, I was cold and wet and hungry. I was living on the street. I had to go through garbage cans just to find a bite to eat. Then one day a man caught me. I admit I was afraid. But they cleaned me up and fed me. Then they put me in this cage. Choose me. I'm a good dog, I don't bite. And I'd love to fall asleep beside your bed every night. Choose me. I'm looking for a home, and I'll be the best friend you've ever known. Wait and see. Choose me. People come, people go. Just can't say no. Take me home. Oh, won't you please choose me? I need a home. So won't you please choose me? I was born in a back alley about a year ago.